scrambling up the inclined deck toward the sliding aircraft, Delta One clambered into the cockpit. He had no intention of letting their only means of escape slide off the deck. Delta One seized the Kiowa's controls and heaved back on the stick. "Lift off!" With a deafening roar, the blades accelerated overhead, straining to lift the heavily armed gunship off the deck. "Up! God damn it!" The chopper was sliding directly toward the Triton, and Delta Two suspended in its grasp. With its nose tipped forward, the Kiowa's blades were also tipped, and when the chopper lurched off the deck, it sailed more forward than up, accelerating toward the Triton like a giant buzzsaw. "Up!" Delta One pulled the stick, wishing he could drop the half-ton of Hellfire warheads weighing him down. The blades just missed the top of Delta Two's head and the top of the Triton sub. But the chopper was moving too fast. It would never clear the Triton's winch cable. As the Kiowa's 300 RPM steel blades collided with the sub's 15-ton capacity braided steel winch cable, the night erupted with the shriek of metal on metal. The sounds conjured images of epic battle. From the chopper's armored cockpit, Delta One watched his rotors tear into the sub's cable like a giant lawnmower running over a steel chain. A blinding spray of sparks erupted overhead, and the Kiowa's blades exploded. Delta One felt the chopper bottom out, its struts hitting the deck hard. He tried to control the aircraft, but he had no lift. The chopper bounded twice down the inclined deck, then slid, crashing into the ship's guardrail. For a moment, he thought the rail would hold. Then Delta One heard the crack. The heavily laden chopper listed over the brink, plummeting into the sea. Inside the Triton, Rachel Sexton sat paralyzed, her body pressed back into the sub seat. The mini-sub had been tossed violently as the chopper's rotor wrapped around the cable, but she had managed to hang on. Somehow the blades had missed the main body of the sub, but she knew there had to be major damage to the cable. All Rachel could think of at that point was escaping from the sub as fast as she could. The soldier trapped in the clamps stared in at her, delirious, bleeding, and burned from the shrapnel. Beyond him, Rachel saw William Pickering still holding on to a cleat on the slanting deck. "Where's Michael?" She didn't see him. Her panic lasted only an instant as a new fear descended. Overhead, the Triton's shredded winch cable let out an ominous whipping noise as the braids unraveled. Then there was a loud snap, and Rachel felt the cable give way. Momentarily weightless, Rachel hovered above her seat inside the cockpit as the sub hurtled downward. The deck disappeared overhead, and the catwalks under the Goya raced by. The soldier trapped in the claws went white with fear, staring at Rachel as the sub accelerated downward. The fall seemed endless. When the sub crashed into the sea beneath the Goya, it plunged hard under the surf, ramming Rachel down hard into her seat. Her spine compressed as the illuminated ocean raced up over the dome. She felt a suffocating drag as the sub slowed to a stop underwater and then raced back toward the surface, bobbing up like a cork. The sharks hit it instantly. From her front row seat, Rachel sat frozen in place as the spectacle unfolded only a few feet away. Delta Two felt the shark's oblong head crash into him with unimaginable force. A razor-sharp clamp tightened on his upper arm, slicing to the bone and locking on. A flash of white-hot pain exploded as the shark torqued its powerful body and shook its head violently, tearing Delta Two's arm off his body. Other sharks moved in, knives stabbing at his legs, torso, neck. Delta Two had no breath to scream in agony as the sharks ripped huge chunks of his body away. The last thing he saw was a crescent-shaped mouth tilting sideways, a gorge of teeth clamping down across his face. The world went black.